Radio Corporation of America presents The Magic Key. Universal Radio Service of the Radio Corporation of America, the magic key of RCA turns to Rome, Italy, Camden, New Jersey, and New York City to bring you an hour of entertainment featuring Lauritz Melchior, distinguished Wagnerian tenor of the Metropolitan Opera, Lucien Boyer, internationally famous French dramatic singer and danseuse, Russ Morgan and his Music in the Morgan Manor, a scene from the Broadway stage hit Call It a Day, Signorina Lisa Sergio, outstanding radio announcer of the European continent, John B. Kennedy, noted NBC News commentator, and Frank Black and the NBC Symphony Orchestra opening the program with the gay and bewitching polka from Smetana's comic opera, The Barted Bride.
is a saying that a true actor can have a whole audience in tears simply by reciting the multiplication table. This may be an exaggeration, but no one can deny that certain gifted artists have an unexplainable power to move us to tears or to laughter. Just such an artist is Lucien Boyer, petite French star who has become almost as famous in New York and London as on the continent. Mademoiselle Boyer, small, dark, intense, gains her effects with a minimum of effort, with a delicacy which holds her listeners spellbound. She skyrocketed to fame in Europe several seasons ago, and New York has applauded her both on Broadway and in smart nightclubs. Within a week's time, Mademoiselle Boyer returns to fulfill contracts in France, and this is her final American radio appearance. The magic key of RCA turns to Lucien Boyer, singing first, Parlez-moi d'autre chose.
Tu m'as dit 100 fois que tu sais, que tu m'adores, que tu m'en veux. Mais mon amour, les mots suprêmes, tu m'en as fait sans fois laver. Le matin dès le petit jour, tu m'en parles de ta tendresse, ton mot préféré c'est toujours. Et tu répètes tes caresses. Parle-moi d'autre chose, tu sais, que ta voix se repose à paix. J'aime tant le silence sans bavé, toutes les confidences de tes yeux. Et toi, chérie, je t'ai compris, et mon cœur ne s'est pas mépris. Quand tu me sentiras disposée d'écouter, parle-moi d'autre chose que d'aimer.
Lucien Boyer continues the program with a new English number, especially composed for her by Jean Delette. It bears the title, It's a Thrill All Over Again.
The year may bring silver threads among the world. But deep love we'll feel never can go cold. So let time go by, but for you and I, life's a dream all
laboratory sounds like a fantastic suggestion. It's nevertheless a fact that more news and more important news is emerging from the scientific research laboratories of this country than ever before. At this moment, John B. Kennedy, noted NBC News commentator, is in one of the most prolific of these news sources, in conversation with Mr. Lewis M. Clement, vice president in charge of research and engineering for RCA Victor. The magic key of RCA turns to the RCA Research Laboratories, Camden, New Jersey.
It's been swell of you to show me around these amazing laboratories, Mr. Clement. But why did that chap frisk me as I entered this room?
Well, Mr. Kennedy, you just passed through a doorway wired with our gun detector. It gave you away. That's how the young man knew you had a pocket knife.
Suppose I've been carrying a corkscrew.
Very embarrassing.
That gun detector is the way they have in prisons of telling if visitors are carrying concealed weapons.
Exactly.
What are those young men up to in this corner?
Let me turn you over to Dr. G.A. Morton. He is associated with Dr. Zworykin, Director of Electronic Research.
Good afternoon, Dr. Morton.
Good afternoon.
Dr. Morton, just what is this machine? It looks to me like a huge incandescent sausage.
It's a vacuum tube. It represents a rather interesting application of electron optics. That is...
What's that purring sound?
That's the high voltage supply unit for this tube. This electron image tube can reproduce on this fluorescent screen a scene it receives in black light. When used with the proper optical system, as in that small electron telescope, it will enable the operator to see objects which appear to the human eye to be in darkness.
Well, to me, Dr. Morton, that goes in one ear and out both. What practical purpose does it serve?
Many purposes, both in conjunction with the telescope and with the microscope. Perhaps its most important application will be in medicine and biology, for it may be used to study the life cycle of certain organisms which are destroyed by light, but which are unaffected by this infrared or black light.
So that we may sometimes have, through this electron image tube, a discovery perhaps as revolutionary as Louis Pasteur's in bacteriology?
Well, that might be possible.
Well, thank you, Dr. Morton. What's that machine, Mr. Clement?
Why, Mr. Charles J. Young is in charge here. He'll explain it.
Very glad to. Look at this.
Well, all I can see, Mr. Young, is a picture of a pretty dancer revolving at about 100 spins a minute. Where's she dancing to?
She's dancing out on a radio wave.
Well, how is the image received at the other end?
In much the same way it's transmitted, by being divided into many little squares of black and white and gray, and by printing these spots where they belong to make a picture.
Well, Mr. Young, to make this understandable to a layman, even to me...
Listen to this.
What's that?
Why, we're now sending your face over the radio in this facsimile transmitter.
That sounds as though I need a shave.
Yes.
What's this over here, Mr. Clement? Somebody trying to make a speech?
No, just one of the laboratory boys ordering lunch. We'll show you how one living voice can be made to sound different through filters.
Yes, that's what I said. I want an order of roast beef rare with a baked potato and asparagus.
And ice cream for dessert. Ice cream. I said ice cream for dessert. Peach ice cream.
What do you make of that, Mr. Kennedy?
Why, he seems to want peach ice cream for dessert. But where is Dr. Wolf? I'd like to meet Dr. Wolf.
There he is, beside his present pet, the new microwave transmitter. Dr. Wolf is doing important work in developing the possibilities of extremely short radio waves.
All right, boys. I can make the demonstration this way.
How do you do, Dr. Wolf?
How do you do?
I hear you gave up a skiing party to be with us today. Do scientists really ski?
Certainly.
Well, what happens if you spill?
Why, for the moment, we're not very scientific.
Didn't this transmitter look to me like a huge searchlight reflector?
Precisely. You see, we send these microwaves, which are 3 or 4 inches long, as the searchlight sends its beam.
Well, how long, Doctor, is the ordinary broadcast wavelength?
Oh, about a quarter of a mile.
I read somewhere where David Sarnoff, the president of RCA, said that discoveries in microwaves would open up countless millions of new channels. so that radio will have many more uses than it has today.
Well, radio must look to the fractional or microwaves for new developments, because the longer wavelengths are all taken. Now watch this. I aim this microwave at the opposite wall of the next room, through that open door there.
What's that?
Somebody intercepted the beam by walking across the room. You see, these fractional waves will not penetrate solid mass like ordinary radio waves. They reflect or bounce off and come back at us.
A sort of double play.
Yes. Now you see the way it works again.
So I see. What's the practical use of the microwave, Dr. Wolf?
There are many possible uses. For one thing, steamers will be able to detect icebergs through fog and darkness.
You mean if we had had microwaves in 1912, the Titanic might not have been sunk?
I mean that with this microwave transmitter, ship can detect all large objects in its path.
Well, that's radio at sea again. Safety first and last.
Now we'll move on to another section.
Well, just wait a minute, Mr. Clemens. I'm mentally groggy trying to assimilate what I've already seen.
But we've only just begun.
Well, thank you, just the same. But sufficient for the day is the rubbernecking thereof. If you want proof anywhere, you'll find it here. In these vast RCA laboratories at Camden, the science knows no respite or retreat in its continuous service to make life richer for us all.
From the RCA research laboratories in Camden, New Jersey, which Mr. Kennedy has just visualized for you, have come inventions which have had far-reaching effect not only in the radio industry, but in other related fields as well. Because members of the family of RCA offer so many and such diverse services to the American public, the influence of the RCA Research Laboratory is multiplied many times. For example, these new developments in motion picture recording, recently worked out by RCA Photophone engineers, may conceivably lead to great improvements in the field of sound reproduction. And such inventions as the magic brain and the magic eye, which have made RCA Victor radios the sensation of 1936, were achieved by virtue of RCA laboratory research in the transmission of radio programs and messages as well as their reception. In short, members of the family of RCA, tapping a vast common reservoir of knowledge, experience, new ideas, are constantly working to the improvement of every interrelated field they enter, whether it is radio for your home, sound motion pictures, radiogram service to foreign countries, police and aviation radio, or Victor Records. The RCA Research Laboratories are the nerve center of this whole enterprise. For there, RCA definitely fulfills the responsibilities of its position as the largest factor in American radio. Gladly assuming the research burden of the industry, it never ceases in its efforts to learn new things, new ways of utilizing old things, as one part of the universal radio service of the Radio Corporation of America.
Meteoric successes are, in the nature of things, brief. This is as true in the entertainment field as elsewhere. Those most likely to stay at the top of their profession are the ones who have worked hard for their position, laying a firm groundwork of knowledge and experience. Such a one is Russ Morgan, who was so fortunate as to receive his early training from Victor Herbert. Working as musical arranger for the great American composer, Russ Morgan was conscientiously preparing himself for the success which now is his. The magic key of RCA turns to Russ Morgan and his Music in the Morgan Manor, playing first a medley of three tunes from the Princeton Triangle show, Stags at Bay.
Signorina Lisa Sergio, Italian woman, who is the most famous of them all. Speaking from Station 2RO in Rome, Lisa Sergio has made her voice and personality familiar to millions in the British Isles and on the European continent. Her fluent command of three languages, French, English, and her native Italian, allowed her to broadcast her noted news accounts of the Italo-Ethiopian conflict to an exceptionally wide audience. It may strike you as unusual that a woman should have achieved such prominence as a microphone reporter. But in European radio, women announcers are no novelty, and Signorina Sergio abundantly deserves her position at the pinnacle of the profession. On the other side of the Atlantic, she is waiting to address us. I have the privilege of introducing my European colleague, Signorina Lisa Sergio.
Thank you, Mr. Cross, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Buongiorno, signore e signori. I really should say buonasera, good evening, because it is after 8 o'clock in the evening here in Rome. But at any time, it is always a pleasure to speak to the great American audience. I have never visited your country in person, but my voice has on a number of occasions traveled to America by the magic of shortwave radio transmission. I have also enjoyed listening to American radio programs which have been sent by shortwave to Italy, especially these programs on Sundays of the Magic Key of RCA. I like particularly the fine music played on this program. I am proud and happy to announce that the next number on the Magic Key program is by our favorite and beloved Italian composer, Giuseppe Verdi. The Triumphal March in Aida is the most stirring and perhaps the best-known air from this opera. It is featured by a theme first expressed by Egyptian trumpets in the orchestra and taken up by the same instruments on the stage itself. For this masterpiece of Verdi, the Magic Key of RCA now turns to Signor Frank Black and the NBC Symphony Orchestra playing from Radio City, New York.
family in 24 hours. Well, for one thing, plenty of romance. At least that's what takes place in the Theatre Guild's latest production, Call It a Day. This gay English comedy, which has been playing to crowds ever since last October in London, is now in the process of repeating its transatlantic success in New York. Direction, writing, acting have all won the acclaim of the critics. And one member of the cast, the talented child actress Jean Dante, has won a long-term motion picture contract as a result of her excellent characterization. The magic key of RCA turns to present a scene from the current Broadway success, Call It a Day, enacted by Glenn Anders, Jean Dante, Florence Williams, and Anita Lattle. The first spring day is in the devil's pay, so says an ancient proverb. Into the lives of the Hiltons, a lovable English family living in a London suburb, comes the first warm day of spring, bringing with it romance and adventure for each member of the family. This afternoon, we look briefly at a portion of the day as it touches the lives of two of the five Hiltons, Catherine and Anne, daughters of the family. It's tea time, and Catherine, a 19-year-old romantic, is posing for her portrait in the studio of the artist Paul Francis. She's infatuated with him, even though he is older than she and happily married. The painting has been going badly, and Paul has thrown aside his brushes to gaze disconcertedly at the unfinished picture. Catherine moves close to his side.
Oh, Paul.
Must you call me Paul?
I can't help it. I think of you as Paul. Oh, Paul, what is it? What have I done? I'll go mad if you don't tell me.
Oh, my dear child.
I've thought and thought all through the night. I can't even cry because of my sister's hearing. Is it just that you're tired of me just after a few weeks?
Oh, for Lord's sake, shut up, Catherine. You're talking as if, well, I haven't even kissed you. Or have I?
No. You were going to when that wretched old tramp came along. That morning on Primrose Hill when it was all beginning.
It was all beginning? Well, it isn't going to begin, Catherine. It isn't going on anyhow. There's someone at the door.
Oh, but why? What's gone wrong? It's not knowing that's so beastly.
Good Lord, child, it's pretty obvious. Your father...
Oh, so that's it. Just because you know father.
Well, that isn't all of it. I'm 20 years older. And more than 20 years. Though I hate to stress the fact, I really am married.
Paul, don't you care for me at all?
No.
Oh, I don't believe you. You're just trying to cure me. That day on Primrose Hill, you said it.
Hi, Catherine. You surprised to see me here?
I am. You know my sister, don't you, Paul?
We only met for a minute. I don't think you noticed me much.
Well, that was very remiss of me.
What do you want? Well, as a matter of fact, I want some money.
For how much?
Oh, no, please, Cass, you ought to have it. You see, coming home, I saw a little rosette pin. Oh, it's one I've never seen before. A girl with jewels and a hairbrush and no frames. It's only 4 and 6. The man said it was a lot, and it might be gone tomorrow. So I thought it's nearer here than to home, and I didn't think Mr. Foster could mind if it's all far off.
You have some tea?
Thank you. You don't mind my coming, do you? I didn't interrupt anything. Could you manage the 4 and 6, Cass?
Oh, I expect so. Heaven knows you've got enough pictures.
But this is something special. Are you familiar with the works of Dante Gabriel Rossetti, Mr. Foster?
Well, tolerably, Miss Hilton. Though, I don't seem to remember the one you described. A woman with a hairbrush, I believe.
And a jewel box, and a monkey, a little glass house, and the back room of peacock.
Mm-hmm. Seems reasonable at 4 and 6. An oak frame, I think you said?
Yes, with a wavy edge.
Well, I should snap it up. It's a bargain.
Could I have the 4 and 6 leaving me soon, Cass?
More tea, Anne?
Oh, thanks.
You better go and change your dress, Catherine. I'm going to make you run along with Anne. You're too tired to sit anymore.
Oh, but I'm not a bit tired. I want to sit.
No, sorry, Catherine, but shop's shut for the day.
All right, you wait here, Anne. I'll...
Painting Catherine is all wrong. I'm not at all sure I should go on with it. Perhaps I shall paint you instead. You're a very interesting mouth, Anne.
Rather morbid, isn't it?
Yes, morbid to a degree. More bread and butter?
Thank you.
Why are 3 pieces of thin bread and butter nicer than 1 piece of thick?
You get more butter.
True. I perceive you have a fine, logical mind.
Oh, no, not really. Can I have a look at Cass' picture?
Well, you don't think it's like her?
No. I thought she is.
Go on.
I don't understand it very well. Always a little dead. If you were angry with it.
Oh, well, that's enough of that.
I'm sorry.
I'll put the picture away.
I don't understand modern art yet. Picasso and the decent people. Besides, as I get to like them. Could I see some more of your pictures?
Well, there's just a few of my things here.
This is my dad's studio. That's one of his paintings over there. There's a view from this window.
So it is. Oh, what lots of fascinating pictures you have, Mr. Saunders.
Yes?
This little sketch. Isn't it? Oh, it couldn't be. Not a Rossetti.
Yes. Well, by Jove, it is. Well, I'd forgotten all about that. He gave it to my dad. Here, let me get it down.
That's lovely. Not finished, is it?
No, it's a sketch. You're a clever girl to spot that as his work.
Rossetti must have touched it, mustn't it?
Certainly must. Would you like to have it?
Oh, you couldn't. Not possible. You don't mean... I couldn't. It's frightfully valuable.
Oh, not so very. And I should never sell it.
It's marvelous of you, but I mustn't really. It belongs to your father.
My dad would have liked you to have it. He loved Rossetti.
Oh, Mr. Francis.
Oh, Miss Hilton.
Oh, please don't call me that. I'm just 10.
Then you must call me Paul.
Really?
Yes, really. I think it'd be a good idea if you called me Paul.
I'm all ready now. Catherine, look what Paul's done. He's given me a Rossetti, a real one. I can't believe it. So, is it real? And you can't possibly keep it. Mother wouldn't let you. Golly, I never thought of that. But it's not like money, is it?
Oh, don't you worry. I'll square your mother.
Oh, thank you. I'm sure you can manage it. Oh, goodness, I must get it home safely. I won't hang in my room. I'll write you, Mr. Francis. I mean, Paul. Thank you properly. Too young, too old, aren't you?
A thousand pities.
Come on, Cass. Oh, Paul.
No, go away, Catherine. The man's too old to hug me, you certainly are. Out you go, my girl. Out you go.
The day is almost over for Anne and Catherine. It's just a few minutes before midnight. The light of a bright new moon pours through the windows of a bedroom shared by the two girls. It falls on the wall above Anne's bed, disclosing her newly acquired sketch of Rossetti. Catherine is crying. Her quiet sobs are barely audible, but they have wakened Anne. But they have wakened Anne. But they have wakened Anne, who sits up in bed.
Cass, I'm not asleep. Then you ought to be. You know I oughtn't. No one can sleep when you're going on like that. No, I oughtn't. No one can sleep when you're going on like that. Oh, Cass, what's the matter? Oh, leave me alone. Perhaps it'll make it easier if I tell you I guess what's wrong. You're in love with Mr. Francis.
Oh, I'm not her baby.
No, I can hear you. Oh, it's no good, Cass. I'm sure. It came to me suddenly this evening. I'm psychic, you know.
Oh, you little idiot. It's not true, I tell you.
Yes, it is. Oh, I don't blame you a bit. I'd be in love with him myself if you hadn't frightened.
Oh, stop talking such utter nonsense. Don't you know he's a married man?
Well, of course I do. But that doesn't make any difference. People often fall in love with someone who's married. Lots of great people have done it. Perhaps you're going to be great.
Well, I can't think what that.
He likes you awfully, doesn't he?
If you think that, I think it's terribly romantic. Aren't you shocked?
You can't shock a person whose favorite king is Charles II. You want him to divorce his wife and marry you?
No, I don't know what I want.
I don't think he will. Lots of famous men have despised little wives like that. You'll have to be just an inspiration to him.
Oh, you don't understand. You think it's just like hero worship that you have for your poets and kings.
No, I don't. Not now I've seen him. I expect you'd like him to kiss you, wouldn't you? Has he ever?
No. But he nearly did once. Do you remember the first time I went out early?
About 3 weeks ago?
Yes, I went up onto Primrose Hill to think, and but it was like a miracle he was there.
How marvelous.
It was all sort of misty. Then the sun came up. Oh, he said the most marvelous thing. I know he was going to kiss me.
Why didn't he? Beastly old tramp came along. What a frightful gyp. Have you been meeting him every morning when you went out early?
Oh, no, never again. Something went wrong. Next time I met him, he was quite different. Oh, and he's been beastly to me, fighting me all the time.
Someone's coming. Oh, Mom, don't put on the light. You'll spoil everything. We're looking at the moon.
What a villainous sleep for hours.
Look, Mommy, isn't that a marvelous moon, isn't it?
Oh, it is lovely, isn't it?
I thought you'd appreciate it.
Oh, Cat, there was a telephone message for you.
Oh, who from?
Paul Francis. He's going abroad tomorrow, quite suddenly, joining friends in Mallorca.
Oh, but, well, the picture isn't finished.
He seemed doubtful if he'd ever finish it. I must say I thought it a bit casual after all those sittings, but artists are like that.
Look, Mommy, look. Doesn't Mommy say you look marvelous in a moonlight stuff?
Yes, yes, divine. Now promise there'll be no more moon gazing.
I promise. Good night, darling.
Good night, dear. Cat, you mind very much about the picture?
Oh, no. The sittings were rather a bore.
Well, we'll think of something for you to do now the picture's off your mind.
Heavens, that moon is set.
Now, no more talking.
Oh, Cat, don't, please. It's a frightful compliment, really. He's gone away because of his conscience. Go off like that. Oh, if only I could die.
Oh, Cat.
Goodness, I wish I could help you. Cat, would you like this? My rosette. It belonged to Paul.
Oh, is that?
No, I don't want it. He gave it to you. Then something is cut. Oh, please let me give it.
Well, lend it to you.
I'd like to. I'll put it here where the sea kittens used to hang. Cut the frame at night if you want to.
Oh, what am I going to do?
He's bound to come back sometime. He'll want to finish that portrait. Great artists never let anything get in the way of their work.
Oh, I'd have been content with so little. Just to see him sometime. What are you doing?
I want to read you something. It's not like ordinary poetry. I think we'll have it at least.
Oh, Mummy will hear you.
No, she won't. I'll read it by the moonlight. I promise not to look at the moon, but this isn't exactly looking at it. Now, listen. By Alice Maynell. I must not think of thee, and tired yet strong. I shun the love that lurks in all the night, the love of thee. And in the blue heaven's height, and in the dearest passage of a song, just beyond the sweetest thoughts that found this way, the thought of thee waits hidden, yet bright. But it must never, never come in sight. I must stop short of thee the whole day long. When sleep comes to close each difficult day, when night gives pause to the long watch I keep, and all my bonds I need must leave apart, must doff my will as raiment laid away. The first dream that comes with the first sleep. I run. I run. I'm gathered to thy heart.
Back in 1920, when broadcasting was still in its experimental stage, two great singers were sought to fill historic roles in making the first important transit broadcast. The woman chosen was the late Dame Nellie Melba, then at the height of her career. The man was Lauritz Melchior, universally recognized as the greatest living interpreter of Wagnerian tenor roles. Mr. Melchior, in commenting on that epoch-making broadcast, whose success heralded a new era in radio, said recently, "The microphone I faced then was considerably different from the ones in use now. It was made of a wooden cigar box propped up by a policeman's stick." Since those pioneering days, Lauritz Melchior has been heard in several radio concerts every year, in addition to his regular appearances on the concert stage and with the Metropolitan Opera. Big in stature, with an expressive voice and a winning personality, this great Danish tenor seems himself an embodiment of one of Wagner's heroes. He has chosen for his first selection today Lohengrin's narrative, Graus Erzählung. The magic key of RCA turns to Lauritz Melchior.
Burg im Mond, Salvas Finland. Heilig zur Tempel stehst dort in Mitten. Hoff, auf Erden nicht bekannt. In ein Gebet von wunderwegem Segen wir dort als höchstes Heiligtum bewahrt. Es war das Sein der Menschen rein zu fliegen, herab von einer Engelschar getan. Alljährlich lag von Himmel eine Stärken eine Wunderkraft. Es heißt, er soll uns ewig rein zur Glaube. Er sei durch ihn sich seiner
mood, Mr. Melchior sings Ich liebe dich by the famous Norwegian composer Edvard Grieg. ¶¶
danke, danke Ihnen, du Erfolg. Wer mit dir
great artists are precious. Encores are limited. But in order that you may hear the music you want, when you want it, Victor Records have captured great musical masterpieces with true-to-life, higher-fidelity recordings. The best in symphony music, immortal performances by the world's greatest soloists, popular dance melodies, all are available on Victor Records. Naturally, they're best reproduced on an RCA Victor phonograph. In many of the latest models, these instruments are combined with the new 1936 RCA Victor radios, the sensational sets with the three RCA Victor features, the Magic Brain, the Magic Eye, and RCA Metal Tube. You will be surprised at the low prices, whether you're looking for a phonograph combination or a radio. For example, the price of an excellent RCA Victor radio phonograph is only $99.95 FOB Camden, New Jersey. And for the first time in history, a Magic Brain, Magic Eye, Metal Tube radio can be yours for only $89.95 at the factory. Almost $30 less than the lowest previous price for an RCA Victor incorporating all these features. Other models cost less than $20. Convenient payments can be arranged. And remember, whatever RCA Victor radio or phonograph combination you select, you can always be sure of RCA Victor quality. We cordially invite you to be with us next Sunday when the magic key will turn again and members of the family of RCA will present Gladys Forsythe, Floyd Gibbons, Benny Goodman and his orchestra, Sheila Barrett, the Vienna Choir Boys, and Frank Black conducting the NBC Symphony.